1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The first presidential debate raising more concerns over age. President Biden appearing to stumble several times last night while answering questions. The president at a rally today in Raleigh says he's not the youngest, but says his opponent, Donald Trump, is just 3 years younger. The president says he also knows how to tell the truth, taking a jab at Trump, who made false claims last night on several issues. The Biden campaign communications director, Michael Tyler, meantime, doing damage control following the debate.
The president said it himself today. He didn't have the best night on the debate stage, but we'd rather have one bad night than a candidate with a bad vision for where he wants to take the country.
Former President Trump holding a rally in Chesapeake, Virginia today, his campaign calling it a victory lap. Steve Bannon has run out of legal options to delay the start of his prison sentence for his contempt of Congress conviction. The Supreme Court today denying a bid to delay the start of the four-month sentence while Bannon runs through his appeals process. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's joining a number of other states in trying to get TurboTax to stop advertising its services as free. Attorney General Josh Call is joining 21 attorneys general asking the Federal Appeals Court to reject an appeal filed by the maker of TurboTax. The Federal Trade Commission last year ordered Intuit to stop advertising its services as free unless they're free to all customers. The attorneys general want that upheld. There's another legal challenge to the process that determines Wisconsin's wolf management plan. Melissa Smith is with Friends of Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife. She says the Natural Resources Board treats some animals differently than others.
Deer are held in the public trust. So it seems that it's pretty inconsistent when they decide something is held in the public trust and when something is not.
A coalition of wildlife groups filed the latest court challenge this week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Speaking to a standing room only crowd at the Plumbers and Steamfitters UA Local 400 in Kaukauna last night, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders called out three pivotal issues in this presidential election: climate change, support for the working class, and women's rights.
I happen to believe that it should be women who control their own bodies, not
men. Sanders is in Wisconsin holding progressive town hall meetings and rallies. Neenah City Attorney David Rashid entered not guilty pleas to three counts of sexual assault in Winnebago County Court Thursday. Rashid is charged with two counts of domestic abuse third-degree sexual assault and one count of domestic abuse fourth-degree sexual assault. Green Lake County Judge Mark Slate will hear the case. Rashid's next court's appearance is August 5th. He's been on administrative leave from the city of Neenah since the charges were filed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Chicago Cubs, and manager Craig Counsell, whose team has lost three of their last four series, the Cubs right now in last place in the NL Central.
This is the way the game works. You're going to have a result, and you're going to have a game the next day. And you can't let the result of the night before affect the result, the play the next day. Obviously, we're not getting the results we want.
The NBA draft wrapped up, the Bucks selecting guard A.J. Johnson and 6'11" forward Tyler Smith out of Houston, Texas. There were a lot of trades for picks last night in the second round. Did the Bucks receive a lot of offers to give up their pick at number 33?
Yeah, I mean, especially where we were, there was a lot of conversation, calls from agents, calls from other teams wanting to move up into our spot, into our position. But we had our process in place and knew that if our player was there, we were definitely going to select that player.
That's the Bucks assistant general manager, Milt Newton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and cool today with high temperatures just scraping the mid-70s. Scattered light rain on and off, becoming moderate at times. And storms are expected to spark up this evening, bringing some heavy downpours and high winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Many people with unique homes reach out to Pella because our team of experts can customize windows and doors that match architecture from any era.
I love that I have a home that's 100 years old. It's a historic district, and we didn't want to ruin the look by having modern windows in an older home. When I found out that Pella had an architecturally accurate product line, they simply guided us and helped us to make a great decision for our home.
Order today and get 0% interest for up to 36 months at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Certain restrictions apply at 6/30/2024.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming up on Monday, Johnny's off, so Frank Hermans joins me on the show. Brittany Merlot will have our weather forecast for the week, and we'll get a final report from Peter and Tracy Flukey about their tandem bike trip to New York City.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Really excited to be joined by my next guest, Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University's Law School and the head of their incredibly important polling research. Charles, thanks again for making time this Friday. What a Friday it is. There's just been a couple of things in the news today.
Yes, hallelujah Friday after this week, but I'm always pleased to be on. Thanks for having me.
And thanks so much for coming to the Barrymore last night. It was great to hear your thoughts yesterday afternoon with the Devil's Advocates, and it's great to have you today. Let's just jump right in. Do you think the debate is going to move the polling a lot? Like, what's your best guess?
I think it'll move it a little bit. The one snap poll that we saw taken with over 500 voters nationally last night showed 2-1 saying Trump had won the debate. But the vote choice was moved only a fraction, just a point or two both ways, actually. I think that's fairly common for debates, even lopsided debates, that Biden supporters may well have been disappointed with his performance last night, but that's not likely to make them vote for Donald Trump. It's that 12% or so of undecided voters that we saw in our state poll this week who are, you know, the group that might shift some despite having fairly fixed views of Trump and Biden. Part of the problem is a lot of those folks don't like either Biden or Trump. And so last night's debate may not move them much in Trump's direction because of that.
Yeah, I love this new term we have, the double hater, right? It's like, well, we're coming up with new words for all the new stuff and unprecedented things that are happening these days. Part of my takeaway from yesterday evening's debate, Charles, was that they showed up as such sort of the cliche of themselves. That's what everybody has been saying about both the Trump's a liar and Joe's, you know, an older guy and he doesn't quite have it. Well, okay. So they showed up as their cliches. Is it, I think, you know, Democratic elites, people that are really into politics. Yes, everybody's disappointed and I'm a little angry, but for the double haters, that's why I hate both of these guys. So I kind of ended up in that same headspace. Yeah. Remind us again, what did your snap poll show? Negligible movement, basically. In other words, plus minus on both sides, basically.
Right. This is the CNN national poll last night, not mine. And it was about 66 to 33 said Trump did better in the debate, won the debate.
Yes.
But in terms of moving vote preference, it was only a couple of points each direction with, I don't remember the exact number, but almost no net movement. There were people that said, well, I'm less inclined to vote for Biden or less inclined to vote for Trump. But that's not quite the same as I've now decided to vote for Trump or vote for Biden.
Right.
I don't think this is surprising if you look at polling after debates in the past. I think we need a week or two of polling from a variety of sources. And as the debate sinks in or fades, I think one thing about this is, do we see through the weekend increasing panic among Democrats over Biden's performance? Or do we see it start to tamp down? And then in the following week or so, do we kind of come back to normal again?
Right.
I remind people that Trump had a disastrously bad first debate in 2020.
Yes.
Came back and had a fairly normal debate in the second debate.
Normal for Trump, right? Normal for Trump.
Normal for Trump. But it was, well, normal for Trump is probably the best description of it.
Yes.
But my point is, people do recover from bad debates.
Well, that's right. Obama, Romney, he came back. Reagan, Mondale. I mean, Reagan's first debate with Mondale was a total fail. And he ended up winning that race handily. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. And so I guess my caution is, bad debates have not necessarily doomed candidates before. The trouble was last night was Biden didn't just make a single mistake, one big prominent mistake.
Right.
It was his entire delivery was disjointed and hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it alone so I wouldn't be distracted by an audience or other people's reactions. And even under those conditions and listening very carefully, I had trouble following what he was saying. But that was prolonged through the debate. So it feeds this problem that he has. In our data, 76% say he's too old to be president. So this had to simply reinforce that impression. Trump has his own problem. 61% say he's corrupt. And 60% say he has the wrong temperament to be president. Last night, though, was Biden's opportunity to drive home those failures on Trump's part. And I don't think he got that message over very clearly. Certainly there are Democrats that look at Trump's performance and it does reinforce their view that
right.
he has the wrong temperament. But he was forceful in his presentation, if nothing else.
He believes his own BS. I mean,
it's
very convincing as he lies.
And I think he was practiced at the lines.
That's
the one sort of insider point I'd make. Excuse me. For better or for worse, I actually watched C-SPAN's coverage of both campaigns' rallies.
Mm-hmm.
So I get familiar with what their campaign messages are.
Yes.
I didn't hear anything from Trump last night that I have not heard him do in his three speeches here in Wisconsin since January. In that sense, he didn't bring out anything new, but he had practiced those lines, and that came across in his delivery, no matter what you think of the accuracy or truthfulness of what he said. And the surprising part was Biden seemed unable or unprepared to have responses to those things that if you had watched Trump's speeches, you would have known.
You know what's coming. Yes.
Key points. So that, I think, is sort of the planning failure. And either Biden wasn't able to deliver those rebuttals or in his debate preparation, they didn't focus on those things. And it showed last night as well.
Yeah, I think they assumed that Trump would be worse than he was. In other words, that he would shoot himself in his own foot and forgot, like, you need to be on offense all the time. Like, that's what people are looking for, better or worse. That's the environment that we're in. Wanted to talk very briefly, if you will. The thing that I was, frankly, completely blown away by in your last poll, Charles, was that a majority of registered voters said prosecuting Trump was the right call and believe that he is guilty. That literally left me with mouth agape. And furthermore, most voters, 76%, said they heard or read a lot about Trump's trial in New York. Was that surprising to you? I mean, I was literally shocked by that.
Yeah, that was high attention. For comparison, it was about 65% during the trial that said they were hearing and reading a lot about it. Now, after the conviction, up to 76%. So an increase in that. People didn't skip out on the trial and the conviction. What didn't move very much is the belief that he's guilty. So in our new poll this week, 55% said they thought he was, in fact, guilty. But in our May poll during the trial, it was 54% that thought he had done something illegal, not quite the same question. So I think this is the part about how the stock price has all this already built into it, that before the trial or during the trial, over half thought he'd done something illegal. After the conviction, at most, that moved up by a single point, simply because people had already formed beliefs about that. And so the trial wasn't really new information. I did think that in retrospect, finding 50% who said it was the right judgment call for the prosecutor to charge Trump does show that even in hindsight, there's not much backing off from that. Of those who said that 42% said that he should not have been prosecuted, 50% said he should have been, and 8% said they didn't know. So again, you see a slimmest majority saying he's guilty, saying he should have been prosecuted. And I think that's interesting that there's not backing off. The one thing to add, though, is only 36% say he should serve time in jail.
Yes.
27% said no penalty at all. 12% a fine, 14% probation without jail. And again, 10% don't know. So almost a majority are saying that some kind of punishment is warranted, but it's less than jail time.
Yes. I thought that was extremely interesting. Last question for you, Charles. We just got about a minute and a half left. Is Eric Hovde self-imploding as a candidate?
Well, he slipped a little bit, but it is early in the campaign. The big thing is 2 months ago in April, 56% said they didn't know enough to have an opinion. Now that's down to 44%. That's the sort of normal progression for a non-incumbent candidate to be getting better known. The trouble for Hovde in this last 2 months is that his favorable ratings went up by 4 points, but his unfavorables went up by 8 points. And so relatively, he's slipping as he's gotten better known.
Yeah, in general, insulting students, people who might have a couple of extra pounds on them, old folks, probably not the best play in the state of Wisconsin.
It still leaves Baldwin up by anywhere from 5 to 7 or even 9 points across the different questions we asked. That's not much change from 2 months ago, but relatively speaking, Hufty's a little less likable than he was.
I'd say he's gosh darn unlikable pretty much all the time on all points. My guest this segment, Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from Marquette. Thanks so much, Charles. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. You too.
We'll be right back, folks. Very quick couple of messages. We're talking more debate. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Calvin B. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the debate. What did you think? I always love talking to Charles Franklin, Calvin, because he's in these numbers. He's in these polling statistics all the time, right? And I think Charles just has a really great innate sense, and he backs it up with what is indisputably one of the best polls in the country. But he backs that up with his polling. And so my thanks to Charles, one, for just making the time to come on the show, but also for making me feel better. I don't know if it made you feel any better, but he basically said, and I love the analogy of the market has already priced this information into the stock valuation. Like, again, and this was sort of my point made earlier on the show that these guys performed like their cliche would anticipate, right? I mean, for you, and I know you didn't watch it because you're saving your brain from the pain. How does it land?
I don't know. I was not feeling great about it today.
Yeah.
Charles' information makes me feel a little bit better, but it also, at the same time, if the Democrats are serious about getting a different, better candidate, maybe more drastic poll shift is what we wanted to see.
Oh, that's a really... Calvin dropping some insight bombs here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I love it. Just to extrapolate on Calvin's point, if you were actually going to want to push for a different nominee from the Democratic Party, it would necessitate a much bigger swing in the snap polling done immediately after the debate. That's if I'm hearing Calvin correct.
Yeah, that's the point I was making.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, we shall see. I mean, I think that's a bit of the meta point here is let's see. Because, again, I think most of the people that are undecided, right, or potentially swing voters are in that position not because they don't know who these men are, but because they don't like their choices, and this wouldn't have changed any of that. At least not significantly so, in my opinion. I mean, Trump was just as disagreeable and dislikable as he always is, full of lies. But he delivers them well. I mean, listen. If you're going to lie your butt off, make it a huge lie and say it convincingly and just keep repeating it. I mean, that's the guy's whole life. The art of the deal? What deal? Your dad handed you the business. You've bankrupted all the other harebrained schemes that you've had. Trump Airlines, Trump Steaks, Trump College, Trump what? Well, my good friend Mark from Prairie du Sac has been incredibly patient, so you are up next, my friend. Thanks so much for coming to the Barrymore last night, Mark. What do you have to say? What do you think?
Yeah, well, thank you, Darlene. I thought Biden had a weak performance. I did notice one error that he made when he said the Border Patrol supported him, where it's the Border Patrol supported his bill rather than
him,
the bipartisan bill rather than Biden himself. But with the Supreme Court decisions that came down today and have been coming down, I can't help end with Dobbs, that the Supreme Court basically has made bribery legal.
Yep.
They're going to turn drug regulation and environmental regulation over to judges who might not know jack crap about what's going on.
Yep.
And I can't remember the other one, slips my mind on it today, but they're
the January 6th obstruction and presidential immunity decision. Yeah.
That right there too, because obstruction means obstructing the process.
Of course,
I mean it didn't. It's my understanding it doesn't say documents. They obstructed getting documents, you know, specifically in the decision that led to this, you know, to surveillance Oxley. That it's just you're obstructing the process, and the whole point of them doing that on January 6th was to obstruct the process.
Yes, it was their specified intent, and they succeeded. I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. Thanks so much for the call, and I'm going to talk about those two decisions that the Supreme Court issued today. The first one is the decision about the obstruction criminal charge that was brought against, I think some, I forget the exact number, 500-ish people. Trump has two such charges. I'll talk to you all about that case. And also the other case that, in my opinion, will be by far the most impactful case, more impactful than Dobbs. More impactful than Dobbs. On Chevron deference. I'm going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour. But I promised you, let me read some texts, and then I'm going to tell you all what I think about it. Well, maybe we'll do some sound first, Calvin. Let's get some sound cuts ready. And I'll start after the bottom of the hour with my final word on the debate. If you want to get in your final words before we move on to, oh my gosh, the Supreme Court is lighting our democracy on fire. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. John Hartman again from Huberta. Simply put, the problem is not incompetent, dishonest, or corrupt, quote, leadership. The problem is the incompetent, dishonest, corrupt electorate who put them in a position to lead. Andrew from Maine, why does the life of a non-viable fetus or blastocyst take priority over the mother's life? Having a little abortion debate. Yeah. Why does Samuel Alito get to say that the mother's life doesn't matter so much? Interesting. Texter from the 608 pointing out that I misspoke a couple of times about conception and those things. Thank you. We're going to try to get that corrected on the record. Andrew from Maine. Also, dear Democrats, the time to run a candidate is before the primaries, not after all 50 states have chosen their preferred candidate. Stand behind the voters that picked the Biden-Harris ticket and push them to November, knowing you have Harris to step up if needed. And stop relying on words and look at actions. We have over 3 years of actions for both to compare. Hooray, Andrew. I could not agree with you more. It's why I've been doing Biden's top 100. I'm taking a pause on that today. Today is day 20 of Biden's top 100. I will combo day 20 and 21 on Monday simply because so much news to cover. Also, on Monday, you are not going to want to miss a minute of that show. We're going to have day 20 and 21 of Biden's top 100, and then I will spend the rest of the day talking about presidential immunity. Chief Justice John Roberts said today, basically, that the immunity decision is coming on Monday. It'll be the last decision they issue from the Supreme Court term. All right, we're just going to run these cuts. Do we have enough time? We're kind of up on it. Well, so we're going to take a couple of really important messages, folks. Brian from Maguanago, I see you. You're going to get another crack at it. We're going to listen to some of the, I think, most important sound from the debate. You can get in your last words and opinions about the debate, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'll give you my final word, Maggie's final take. And then I'll tell you again about SCOTUS lighting our democracy on fire today. Hey, big shocker. Who knew? The guys that take basically payoffs from billionaires and then decide their cases in favor of them wouldn't have the little guy in mind. I am shocked.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Data from the U.S. Milk Production Report indicates a slight year-over-year decrease in May. This reflects the ongoing adjustments in the dairy sector. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Kathleen Wolfley, an agriculture broker with EverEgg, shares some insight on the current trends and implications for the industry. She says that despite this slight decline, the addition of cows between April and May suggests targeted growth in regions that have not previously been noted for such expansions.
We continue to keep a really close eye on what's happening with cow numbers. And in the U.S. in May, we did see about 5,000 cows added between May and April, with a lot of that growth coming in places like Texas and New Mexico, a place where we really haven't been talking about growth very much in recent months or in recent years.
That was Kathleen Wolfley, agriculture broker with EverEgg. I'll have your closing markets right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong. A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm.
As a member, I have had the opportunity to grow personally and professionally through valuable programming, learning opportunities like Farm Bureau's Leadership Institute and Grassroots Policy Process have set me up to succeed both on and off the farm. Become a member by visiting WFBF.com.
A vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. And Farm Rescue, a nonprofit organization that provides free planting, haying, harvesting, commodity hauling, and livestock feeding assistance to farm families who have experienced a major illness, injury, or natural disaster, has officially added Wisconsin to its growing list of service states. Operations will begin with harvest assistance as of July 1st, and the rest to follow in 2025 and for years to come. You can learn more about that on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. Now let's take a look at our dairy markets. July Class 3 milk contract is trading at $19.57 a hundredweight. That's up 5 cents. And August milk is trading at $20.44 a hundredweight, and that is down 3 quarters. Barrel cheese closed at $1.88. That was down 2 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at $1.91. That was up 3 cents. And the double A butter closed up 1 and 3 quarters and closed at $3.10 and 3 quarters. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and cool today with high temperatures just scraping the mid-70s. Scattered light rain on and off, becoming moderate at times. And storms are expected to spark up this evening, bringing some heavy downpours and high winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Children and Families.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Join Liza Hellenbrand for The Empowered Caregiver every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. The Empowered Caregiver Show uplifts caregivers through education, advocacy, and support, while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. The Empowered Caregiver is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's The Empowered Caregiver, Saturday at 8 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW Talk of Green Bay.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about National Postal Workers Day, and we'll hear from Dean Muller with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I like the vibe, Kelvin. My sister, my sister. Tell me, we gotta chill it out a little bit. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. I got a debate hangover. Not literally, figuratively. Oof. We've been talking debate almost all afternoon. But two enormous Supreme Court cases dropped today, so I owe it to each and every one of you to tell you about those, because they are monumental. One, I think, is going to basically change the fabric of our lives in an absolutely incalculable, unpredictable, or perhaps predictably enormous ways. I'll explain more in a few minutes. If you want to get your last licks in on what you thought about the debate, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Call and text lines are open. Amy from Madison, she just sent Biden some money. He's the only decent human running for president this year, and I'm including RFK Jr. in that. Yowza! Thanks, Amy. From the 414, I didn't hear the whole show, but I want to know if anybody has brought up the idea that a super PAC should be using clips from the debate and hammering Trump with the lies showing what the actual truth is. Dear Lincoln Project, please immediately issue as many tweets with every single, like a lie counter. Ooh, ooh, Kelvin, that's what we need. We need like a lie ticker. I wonder how many there were. I'm sure they'll have some PolitiFact tally by Monday. We'll talk about it. Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks, Jill from Iguanago. Michael from Tosa. Why did Martha Stewart go to jail for a white-collar crime, but people say that Trump shouldn't go to jail for a white-collar crime? Excellent question, my friend. Oh, we lost Brian. Brian, if you're still listening, wanted to take your call. Just wanted to get the texters in first. Okay, so I owe you all what I think about the debate. But before, let's listen to some sound, shall we, Kelvin? We're just going to run. This is Donald Trump talking about Roe v. Wade, about our economy, about the border, about January 6th. Just run all four of those back to back.
Roe v. Wade, you have late-term abortion. You can do whatever you want, depending on the state. You can do whatever you want. We don't think that's a good thing. We think it's a radical thing. We think the Democrats are the radicals, not the Republicans.
For 51.
We have the greatest economy in the history of our country. We have never done so well. Everybody was amazed by it. Other countries were copying us. We got hit with COVID. He wants open borders. He wants our country to either be destroyed or he wants to pick up those people as voters. And I don't think we just can't let it happen. What they've done to some people that are so innocent, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. What you have done, how you've destroyed the lives of so many people.
Okay. I am not a radical because I do not want someone else's religion dictating what healthcare I have access to. Donald Trump, you're a liar. The economy was driven into the ground by Donald Trump during his administration. We're still struggling with the effects of that. Donald Trump gave the largest tax cuts to corporations and the wealthiest Americans that we've seen in 25 years, creating the largest expansion of the national deficit by any modern American president, the largest, in fact, of any single term of any president in American history. Donald Trump, you're a liar. Joe Biden doesn't want open borders. Nobody's actually ever argued for that. Zero Democrats of any respectability or prominence have ever said, just open up the borders. In fact, that's not what sovereign nations anywhere really do. In fact, Joe Biden said that he would sign immediately a bipartisan immigration bill that Donald Trump then killed because he wants to act as if he is the only one that cares about the border. Donald Trump, you're a liar. Those that stormed the Capitol on January 6th are not innocent. They're criminals. Donald Trump, you're a liar. Now, in fairness, we got to listen to the pain, too. So, Calvin, run the Biden bumble.
What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America. I mean, billionaires in America. And what's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24% or 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 million, billion dollars, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the with the COVID, excuse me, with dealing with everything we have to do with, look.
He's trying to talk about prescription drugs, by the way. $35.
Medicare.
Yeah.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump.
It's just so painful. That's what I almost hit under my chair. Ugh. So painful. Brian from McGuanago. I'm so glad you called back. What do you have to say, sir?
Sorry about that. I had to go pick up a delivery for someone.
But, no sweat.
I'm curious as to why I don't hear much from the Democrat side about how the so-called pro-lifers and conservatives are constantly going about abortion, right? Or like, no abortion being allowed or illegal. But the left is not talking about how those same people are constantly cutting funding for anything for childcare, anything for education. They hate living children. So they're always loving fetuses that haven't been born yet. Oh, it's a life. But once you're born, you get swept aside. We don't care for you anymore. Just vote for us. And that's it. And it's like, that's an easy talking point for the left to just be like, listen, these people are insane. They could not care less about fetuses. It's all a game show. It's all an act. And it's all because they want the religious vote. That's all it is. And that's all I had to call about.
Brian, 100%. Yes, brother. My parents were pro-life when I was growing up. And we walked out of a restaurant once, and my dad had a bumper sticker that said, abortion stops a beating heart. And someone had written on the bumper sticker in a Sharpie, so are you going to pay for the kid? Are you going to raise the kid? ? And my dad, I remember standing out. It was like this thing seared into my memory. My dad said, those are valid points. And he said, conservatives don't care about what happens to kids after they're born. We know that because conservatives in this state have blocked what Tony Evers has tried to do to expand and support childcare, which is almost crushingly unaffordable for so many families. Conservatives in this state and nationwide don't believe in free school lunches for all. They don't even believe in health care for every child. How's your kid going to learn if they're sick and hungry? Can we at least agree on that? We know that Republicans don't care about kids before they're born because they won't expand or extend the Joe Biden child tax credit that he put in place under the American Rescue Plan, which helped keep American families, your family and mine, afloat during the pandemic. It's a bunch of malarkey. Before I tell you my final take on the debate, I want you to take a listen to Joe Biden from North Carolina a little earlier today. Calvin, thank you so much for going to get that sound. Let's take a listen. This is Joe Biden today.
He continued to lie. He said, I quadrupled taxes. Where the hell has he been? which is a simple lie. I didn't raise a tax on anyone in America that made less than $400,000 a year. And I won't in my second term either. We learned with Trump, who had the largest deficit of any president in 4 years because of a $2 trillion tax cut to the super wealthy. We learned that Trump wants to do another giant tax cut for the very wealthy and the biggest corporations. This time, $5 trillion. Not a joke. $5 trillion. To pay for it, he's going to cut Medicare and Social Security. He'll cut health care. He'll do it all. The millions of working middle-class Americans all pay for another tax cut for the very wealthy. Then, to add insult to injury, he wants to raise taxes on the average family $2,500 a year. What amounts to a new 10% sales tax on all products imported into America. That's his new plan for food, coffee, candy bars, and so much more. It's going to raise the tax on the average family $2,500 a year.
Where was this guy yesterday? I mean, for crying out loud. I'm so ticked off at the Biden campaign. So angry with them. But here's my bottom line, my final word on the debate. I don't think this moves the needle. Not significantly. There's too much time between now and the election. There's a whole nother debate. Those that are deeply in tune with politics cringed, as did independents and swing voters, like, ugh, gosh. That was not a good performance. But they also knew that Trump just spewed out a bunch of lies. It's not, the debate yesterday isn't changing it for swing and independent voters. Now, time will tell. We'll see. There'll be lots of polling. But you know what Joe Biden's brand is? He's comeback Joe. That is kind of what he's known. Today, back in the saddle, high energy. And I already went off on this point, but I am so exhausted by the complete garbage double standard. Donald Trump can say and do whatever he wants. None of it makes any sense. He talks about Hannibal Lecter. He's a obvious and evident psychopath, pathological narcissist. He talks about retribution, and I'm the only one that can save it. He lies constantly. He's a rapist and a fraudster and a 34-time convicted felon. He's a hypocrite of the highest order. He inherited his business. His golden silver spoon, his silver golden spoon, he was born with it shoved up his rump. The Apprentice was a fiction, a figment of reality TV, air quotes there, imagination. They picked the caricature of the caricature, the cliche of the cliche. He's just a snake oil salesman in really expensive suits. He's unfit. Just ask over 100 people that used to work for him. And every small business owner and middle class person that got stiffed by Donald Trump because he doesn't pay his contractors. He's not like you and me. He doesn't care about you and me. That's all fine, but Joe Biden, boy, man, a guy with a stutter, let's punish him. Let's call that unfit. Now, if I'm being completely honest, it's not and shouldn't be acceptable for our country to tolerate either of these two candidates, right? We need better. We deserve better. But Joe Biden has been getting it done for the middle class, and he'll continue to do that. And a couple of other points, Calvin. And I'll share them with all of you after these very brief messages. When we come back, it's the last segment of this Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, my final word on the debate when we come back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm not going to get to the Supreme Court cases today, but you know me. I love me some wonk. I'm kind of glad I'm not trying to squeeze it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll do that next week. Monday, I think I'm just going to do all Supreme Court, the whole show. I'm going to break down the Chevron decision, the Jan 6 obstruction decision, and the immunity decision, which will be dropping on Monday. By the way, I've been calling it since oral arguments. It is going to be a plurality decision. It's going to be very fractured. Amy Coney Barrett, I think, will be with the three liberal women in questioning, I think, the breadth of official acts immunity that the five MAGA men on the court are going to carve out. But before we had to take our last break of the day, I was ranting and raving about the fact that there is a ridiculous double standard in politics. Democrats are held to a much, much, much higher standard than Republicans are. I mean, for an example, Calvin, let's take a listen to what Mitch McConnell had to say about Donald Trump's responsibility for January 6th. And I believe he said this right after Trump was acquitted for that impeachment. Let me know when you're ready, Calvin. It's all right. Here we go. This is right after he was acquitted. Here's Mitch McConnell on Donald Trump's responsibility for January 6th.
There's no question. None. That President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it.
And yet, Mitch McConnell has said he's going to vote for Donald Trump. That's what I'm talking about. Democrats hold other Democrats accountable. And the brass tacks here are this. The man that showed up last night for Democrats on the debate stage wouldn't inspire confidence in anybody. Right? That's not good. But the Joe Biden that showed up today, the Joe Biden that we see the vast majority of the time, does inspire confidence. And even in the bumbling yesterday, guess what was there? A commitment to the middle class, a commitment to you, a commitment to me, a commitment to democracy, and a man who doesn't want to lie. A man who wants to show up for you and me, that cares about you and I. The other guy is a lying clown. So what do I think about this? Today, though I am disappointed, though I am angry, I'm still very proud to say I support my president, and I'll be proudly voting for Joe Biden. I will continue to talk about all of the things that Joe Biden has gotten done for your family, your community, our state, and our families. The rest of it is simply unacceptably un-American. The rest of it is unaccountable authoritarianism. The rest of it is immoral hypocrisy at the highest levels, empowered by a Supreme Court who will declare that presidents are kings, that bribery of government officials is just fine, and, oh, by the way, judges will decide what apparently should be the pollution level of PFAS in our stinking water. The Republicans and the MAGA cult of today are anti-small business. They're anti-little guy and gal. They're anti-freedom. They want to tell you what you have to believe, how you have to live, what religion you should be. And if you disagree with them, you don't get to stay here. You don't get to be counted. Your rights don't matter. That's so ridiculous. I'm so sick of the double standard. Somebody asked me last night at the Barrymore Theater, Maggie, watching the debate, assume that these two guys are lawyers and you have to pick one as your lawyer. Which one do you pick? And I said, Trump. And I said, ah, but you're asking the wrong question. The right question to ask is, if you were the CEO of a Fortune 50 company and your choice of lawyer would either lead to your company's success and that your employees and their families get to thrive and make sure that there's food on the table and a roof over their head and that their kids get to go to college and have health care and that things will be better and the air will be cleaner and the water reliably drinkable and that we will have a more fair, more just, more free, more secure, more safe community. If you're the CEO of a company and it is break the bank, bust it, or save it decision time, and you ask me which one of those two guys do I pick Joe Biden every time. Because there's a difference between delivery and content. Getting stuff done in government requires someone who cares about details, who will listen to experts, and deals with the actual nuances that this complex world presents. Our country can't bear another 4 years of Donald Trump. And these are our choices. So again, folks, it's time to put on our big kid pants and make an adult choice. Sometimes you got to do that for the avoidance of harm, but I think this decision is much easier than that. You have a man who has served his country for his entire life, whose son gave his life in service to our country, whose other son is a recovering drug addict, humbled before the entirety of a nation. The other one is a clown show with a kid in his hand, a kid with his hand in the pocket of Saudi Arabia who bends a knee to Kim Jong-il and Vladimir Putin and Erdogan, an authoritarian knocking on our democracy's door. It's an affirmative yes for Joe Biden. It's not just harm avoidance. It's an affirmative yes for the middle class, for you and for me, and for all the things that we hold dear. So let's move on, shall we? Because the only question that matters is, so what's next? I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it is better when we stand together, and I stand for Joe Biden. That'll do it for me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. The Devil's Advocates are next.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's Friday, so I welcome host of Max Inc. Radio and Live in the Lair, Terry Barr, who always brings great music and conversation, and we'll discuss the legacy of Mel Brooks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner.
Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.